still kung fu kick you in the dick. Old man Wade ain't nothing to fuck with. Old man Wade might stomp a cunt quick. Don't call old man Wade a punk bitch, cause he'll kung fu kick you in the dick.
Congratulations, old man Wade, for you were victorious by way of swift kick to the dick.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stub and the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting here without my my co-host, the Pinnacle of Political Perfection, or my lovely life. She's getting herself situated for school so she become the world's greatest nurse. But I'm lucky enough to have a man that I debate with heavily on stuff. Sometimes I do it just to piss him off because, you know, I'm an asshole. It's what I do. And it's funny because he knows it, but yet and still, he'll still engage it just because he is the epitome of the Biggie line. Even when I was wrong, I got my point across, even though he'll never admit that he was wrong. Tell everyone who you are.
What's going on, man? It's Brandon. Why So Serious Podcast. You know, I've been here many times, so if you listen every week, you probably have heard me before.
Yeah, the funny thing about it is it's we haven't really had any real debates on here, but I swear to you, like, sometimes, like, on the other show, on Comic Book 101 or the Why So Serious Podcast, like, I will purposely antagonize you, specifically because I know, I was like, all right, I'm going to push his buttons just to be an asshole, because that's just what I do. So,
I know.
but you play along with it, and I appreciate it, because I honestly, like, I know, I'm like, all right, he's just letting this happen, because he knows it's good content, and you let it go. So I was like, so I appreciate that. So, okay, you do a bunch of podcasts, but you don't really get political on any of yours. So I want to give you an opportunity to give your thoughts on all the dumb shit that's been going on in America with people running up in Capitol buildings. Just,
yeah, I really wish Javi was here.
So do I.
I have two perspectives. There's like me, the person, and then it's like me, the political scientist. And on this one, they're kind of aligned in the same thing, but not 100%. Because as a person, it's like, you know, you see the hypocrisy, you see the white people doing stuff. But there's this also thing that people got to realize is that, you know, white folks can do a lot of things in this country. But one of the things white people can't do is run up on the Capitol. Like, you're not doing that unless someone lets you. This was clearly an inside job.
Ooh, speak on it.
Someone let this happen. It doesn't just happen. The Capitol Police were advised that this would happen. They were told, hey, this could happen. Like, the D.C. mayor reached out to the National Guard in advance saying, hey, they're planning this shit. It can happen. It wasn't that they weren't prepared. It's that somebody who had enough power to say no said no. Because those police officers, like, some of them were being dicks, and, you know, they've already been in trouble too. I think one of them got fired or charged, and a couple of them were suspended. So, like, the ones that were aiding in that. But the other ones, man, they weren't here for that shit. Like, they weren't here to get their ass beat with flags and sticks and bats.
No.
The one black dude that was, like, leading the mob away from the Congress people, they didn't sign up for that shit. It wasn't, like, a complete thing where, like, oh, the police just let white people do shit. No. All them people weren't here for that shit. It was somebody in charge who made sure that they weren't prepared. But what happened was it got out of hand, because they didn't expect them people to want to fucking kill the vice president. They didn't think it was going to go that far. And then once that they saw that it was going that far, you saw how quick they nipped that shit in the bud. They got the people in the riot gear out there, and they nipped that shit in the bud quick, because it got too far. And it was further than whoever let it happen. And so, politically, you know, it's stupid, because, you know, it's the one thing that you would think some people would turn on Trump for. And it actually did. Like, the last impeachment, there were 0 Republicans who voted for it. This one, it was 10. And why you might say, well, it's only 10. And that's kind of where I'm at as a person. I'm like, yeah, how can it just be 10? Well, I know how it can be 10, but that's how it's fucked up. But the idea that 10 people turned on Trump to vote yes for that tells me that this fucked with some of them too. And you know, your white people can do a lot of things, but last I saw, it was like 100 people have been arrested now.
Damn, is it already up to 100?
Yeah, I think it's up to 100 now. And I'm like, that's not going to be the end. There's still, like, some of these people are morons. Like, they put their footage on their own Facebook page. Look at me running up in the Capitol building stealing shit. The dude who was in Nancy Pelosi's chair that took that picture, that stole some shit off her desk, off her assistant's desk, talked to a reporter after he left out the building. Told him his name, his age, his job. Told him he had a PPP loan. And I'm like, yo, is white privilege that good that you think nothing's going to happen? Because let me tell you, white privilege will get you a lot of things. You're not running into the Capitol building and think you're getting away with that. Like, even you, Mr. White Man, that's not happening. You're not getting away with that shit. If they can find you, they're going to charge you, because the one thing that they're not going to have you do is some insurrection shit. Like, they nipped that shit in the bud in Waco in the 90s when them dudes tried to get all them guns. The government went in there and shut that shit down. Like, yeah, white people can do a lot of shit in this country, but what you're not about to do is overthrow the government. You ain't. That's why the whole gun shit with Republicans don't make sense to me, because y'all want all these guns. Y'all not outgunning the government. If y'all think y'all going to load up on guns and march on the military is going to obliterate y'all. That's not happening. That's not happening in this world. So I thought that was interesting. But the other part that was good that I will say really quick is that, you know, Democrats won Georgia. They won both Senate seats and the presidency in Georgia, which is a sign of, one, that Trump rub some people the wrong way, which makes me feel a little bit better about some white people, because there was clearly some white movement in that state. Two, Stacey Abrams, more importantly, is amazing in mobilizing that state. And three, the Democrats have the power to do shit now, so I expect them to do shit. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a leftist Twitter idiot who wants the Democrats to do things that I know they can't do. I want them to do the things that I know they can do. And so far, they're doing that. So, like, Biden's recovery plan is a bit more progressive than I actually thought it would be, because unlike a lot of things in the Senate, that needs 60 votes. So he can't do that with just Democrats. He has to put some Republicans in that. And the fact that he put the minimum wage increase in there, and the fact that he did rental assistance in there, and child care, and he got all that in there, I don't know if it's going to pass as that, but the fact that that's his proposal is a good sign for me, because I understand that, you know, you can't just put the most progressive thing and expect to get 60 votes. That's not going to happen. You're going to have some type of compromise to get that 60 votes. And so I think he might actually get the 60 votes to get that. We'll see. And so I expect people who went to college, I would expect within 6 months, for student loans to be forgiven. If not all student loans, a large amount will be toast, because that's something that only needs 50 votes. So we'll see how much gets toast, but I expect a lot to be toast. And so I expect these things to happen, man. And so, you know, for the first time in 4 years, I have some hope, and we'll see what happens. I expect to see some good things happen in the short term. We'll see what happens in 2022 with the midterms, if we can hold this majority. But for these first 2 years, I expect to see some decent things happen.
So a couple of things that I want to point out is, one, first you brought up the idea of when people form this militia and they think that the guns they have is going to be able to go up against the military. I think Jim Jeffries said it best when he goes, you're bringing a gun to a drone fight. The government doesn't even really necessarily even need to leave the computer room to basically take them out. Like, you know what I mean? And then let's also bring up the fact that there are tons of military operatives who are trained for this shit. Now, I would be naive to think that there aren't people in the military who support Fuckboy 45 or whatever. But if we're being completely honest about it, even still, they're outnumbered. So, I also think one of the biggest concerns I have is what's going to happen during the inauguration. Because it's not just an idea of the fear that can happen. It's also the way we're looked at as a country. Because there are probably third world countries that look at us and go, shit, at least we're not as bad as America. You know what I mean? So there is a lot riding on everything that's going to happen in, shit, 3 days. But there's also the idea of just... We have the majority... The Democrats have the majority of the Senate now, correct?
It's 50-50. They have the tie-breaking vote with the vice president.
All right. So that one vote means a lot, but to your point, not everything...
That one vote means everything. So what that means is Mitch McConnell is no longer in charge. Chuck Schumer will be the majority leader. And so the biggest thing about that is what Mitch McConnell... The biggest thing that... I mean, Mitch McConnell is a terrible human being. But the biggest thing that he's done while since he's been in charge is that majority leader chooses what goes to the floor to be voted. So there's a lot of things that even people in some of the people Republicans would have voted for, especially those in swing states, that he just chose not to bring for a vote. So for like the $2,000 thing, there were Republicans who would have voted for that like last month. He just said, we ain't voting. Like, we just not gonna vote on that. And so the majority leader has that power. So at the very least, with a Democratic majority leader, we will at least get votes on these shit. People will have to put their vote on the record for this shit. So if there's a thing that comes up and says we need to pass this bill to save black people, those Republicans who are racist are going to have to vote yes or no on the record. There ain't going to be nobody protecting them from that. So that's the part I will say. That's the biggest thing.
Speak a little more on that. And people listening, I'm just going to warn you right now. This wasn't the initial idea, but this may turn into a very political podcast, and like, you know, I think it's also very informative. I think there's some things that people legitimately need to know. So how can one determine who's in the Senate? Or how can someone pay attention to what's going on in the Senate right now?
I mean, you can watch C-SPAN. If you go on the internet and just look at, you know, what's on the Senate docket, they'll show you what, you know, what's, you can see the docket for what when the Senate comes, the Senate is adjourned right now. They'll be back soon. But once the Senate comes back, you can see what's on their docket every day. So it looks like there's going to be an impeachment trial soon for Trump because he got impeached a second time. So, you know, that's going to be in their docket. They're going to need to find a way to compartmentalize that. They cannot let impeachment take over the Senate because, man, we still in the pandemic. They got to pass relief for people. Like, they got to do this shit. You got to have, there's only a certain amount of time in a day to do everything, right? They got to confirm Biden's cabinet picks. Attorney General, HUD, Department of Transportation, Homeland Security, Department of Defense. Like, his cabinet picks have to get confirmed. That takes time. Like, you know, so they cannot get bogged down with impeachment only. They're going to have to find a way to balance all those things and get them done. But, you know, if you want to keep track on what they're voting on, what the Senate is talking about, you know, those things are all online. If you just Google, like, this, you know, Senate Daily Docket, what's on their docket for the day, it's there. You can watch C-SPAN and see all the people who give speeches on the floor. Like, that's all there and easy to find out. And, you know, a lot of things, there's procedural things, there's a lot of things that you need 60 votes to pass in the Senate. But there's a whole lot of things because of the Republicans and Mitch McConnell changing the rules that only need 50 votes. One of them that only needs 50 votes is health care. So, you know, for those of the people who want Medicare for all or, in, you know, at minimum passing a public option for health care, that only needs 50 votes. They got 50 votes for that right now. So those things will get passed at some point in these first 2 years. It's just how quickly we get to them because of impeachment.
Something else I want to comment on that I think is a bigger subject that I don't think people realize could have happened. They were going to hang Trump. I'm not Trump. They were going to hang Pence. Given the opportunity.
Yeah, they were going to kill Pence.
I think that is the funniest part about all this is that they don't particularly understand that the vice president was going to get killed by these people who these terrorists that call themselves patriots. They were going to kill him. And for all the shit they talked when when Fuckboy 45 was in office about, oh, if nothing, respect the title. And, you know, when he won in 2016, oh, get over it, and da-da-da-da. It's like, yo, you guys are the definition of irony. Like, you know what I mean? If anyone ever needs, because, like, people get ironic, screwed up in what it means. That is a definition of irony. Like, they are the personification of it. It's hilarious to me. But do you, okay, is there a silver lining? Well, me and Valkyrie actually talked about this in an episode that'll be coming out next week. Is there a bright side that comes out, excuse me, well, it'll be the previous week when it comes out, the previous episode. Is there a bright side to the stuff that happened with the terrorists who ran up in the Capitol building? Is there a bright side that people can look at as opposed to just the fear and concern that we have?
Well, the bright side is seeing, you know, the double standard in full display. You know, there's people in the world who, I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but they're not blatant racist. They're not. But they don't see in their everyday life racism, or they find it hard to believe. Like, I'm not trying to give white people benefit. That's the last thing I'm trying to do. But there are some white people who are just like, I don't understand why black people say these things, or why, you know, I don't see it. They saw that. These are the same people who saw the George Floyd protests, and then they saw that. They see it. So it's something that you see, it's something that you can't deny. Two, you know, they're arresting those dudes, man. And, like, that's good to see, because, you know, people have been warning about right-wing extremists for a long time being the biggest threat in domestic terrorism in this country. And we just saw it, and hopefully people will get on that. Like, because, you know, it's one thing when they're just terrorizing random Jewish people or black and brown people, which, you know, some people care about, but a lot of people don't care about. But the idea of running up on the Capitol, it's not the people in the Capitol or what they did. It's the imagery. It's literally racist, white, right-wing extremists saying, we are about to take over this fucking country. Like, it's what it stands for. And, you know, I would like to think at least people on both sides would not think that's a good idea. Obviously, a lot of Republicans do support that shit, but I do think some won't. And I also think that, you know, I think one thing that bothers me about it that's not good is that I think it's going to create this idea of fake bipartisanship, where I'm afraid that some Democrats are going to try to be as liberal as they would because they don't want to, quote, divide the country because they're afraid of what might happen. And my advice to them is that these people don't really care how liberal you are. However liberal you are is too liberal for them. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you got to go do what you want to do. But, you know, people who are, you know, go past what you want to pass. Go past what you ran on. Don't let this stop you from doing that. But the, you know, the silver lining is that I don't think anything's going to happen in inauguration. They already got D.C. locked off for, like, miles for where the site of inauguration is. Nothing's going to happen on that day. But it's not just that day, right? And it's not just D.C. Like, they're talking about running up on state houses across the country, mm-hmm. like, in different cities, different states. Like, you know, there's a lot of they can, like, as soon as they open back the mall in D.C., they can come back to the National Mall and do some shit. Like, it's not just inauguration day that they got to worry about, and they got to nip this in the bud. I was happy to see Twitter. Oh, here's the biggest thing. I was happy to see Twitter and Facebook, and especially YouTube, finally block Trump and block these people, kick these people off their platform, kicking QAnon people off their platform, getting rid of them, because that's how they get radicalized. Like, that's how these people get. Gamergate, Comicgate, a lot of that was a part of this. Like, people don't understand. Back when Commonsgate was happening and Gamergate was happening, like, these are those people that were in Gamergate and in Commonsgate. These are those people. They were getting radicalized in Discord chats and YouTube videos, and it's led to where we are today. And you got to get them people up out of here.
You know, it's funny how the connection really is and how stuff like this kind of intersects with even the stuff that we love, like comic books, video games, and things of that nature. because unfortunately people just have this whole thing of like, it's like, oh well, why can't, like, the idea when they go, women don't know comic books and women don't know video games, it's like, nah, a lot of these women know more than you do, so you should probably just shut the fuck up. But so I was saying to me and Valkyrie had this, my wife had this conversation about what started this. She says it's a lack of education. I think it's a lack.
Something about with the people?
Yeah. And so she says it's a lack of education because a lot of these people didn't really receive the type of information and education that would have stopped them from believing certain things or maybe looking deeper on the internet. I said it's ignorance. Like, they don't know. And I said, I didn't say that. I didn't say, I disagree with her only because if these same people can understand that there are lies on the internet, that they should understand that, hey, maybe my theme about this is wrong. But I'm leaning towards what she's saying because honestly, like, you don't, like, a lot of people don't know, like, a .org or a .edu are credible sources. So where do you stand on why things like this happen?
People, see, that's a myth that it's kind of been disproven. It's not disproven. That's the wrong word. So there's segments of people, right? So, like, older people who are on Facebook, that is the truth. Like, they're on Facebook. They're in their 50s, 60s, 70s. A friend of theirs shares some shit. They don't, you know, they don't know. They just see it as news, and they already had beliefs because they're old, and they're already probably leaning conservative, and it just reaffirms their beliefs. And, you know, that's what happens. But, you know, the people in their 20s and 30s and 40s, that's not what that is. These people are being radicalized. It's the same way that Middle Eastern radicalization happens. They find a place that brings them in. Like, when I talk about Comics Gate and Gamers Gate, this was a big thing. So what happened was, you have these YouTube channels, it'd be anti-SJW. Oh, look at Captain Marvel. Look at Riri Williams. You would see these YouTube videos. They'll have millions of views on YouTube. Millions. You get it? If you click on those videos, what happens is it gives you another video that's similar, anti-SJW, and another video. And then what you'll start to notice is that you'll go from anti-SJW comic book videos to a Ben Shapiro video is in your suggestions, or men's right activist video is in your suggestions, or, you know, a super conservative commentator's video, the Candace Owens video is in your suggestions. And then you go from there because you're like, oh, YouTube is saying this is similar, and you click on that, and it's reaffirming these beliefs that you have, and it brings you in. And then you go into Discord, which is an encrypted chat that you can talk to people who think alike of you. And everybody on this Discord channel is anti-SJW and anti-racist and anti-women and pro-Trump. And, you know, then once you get in that group, then somebody in that group shares some false shit, but you are part of that group, so you believe it. So then you see, like, they're taking over the country, or Democrats or pedophiles trying to take over the world. And you're already in this mindset because everything else that you've believed has led you to this point. So you believe that, and that's how you get radicalized. You get in a group with people who think like you, who's trading information that's not true or that's tainted, but it's positioned in a way to reach you. And it's said in a way by really charismatic people, like a lot of people, like Rush Limbaugh is a piece of shit, but Rush Limbaugh is really great at his job. Like, there's a reason why Rush Limbaugh has been so successful for so many years, because he's really, really good at what he does. What he does is garbage, but he's really good at what he does. There are a lot of terrible people who are really charismatic, and they know how to reach people in a way. They'll talk to a man and be like, you know, isn't it weird that, like, white men get blamed for everything? Like, aren't you tired of feeling like that? Like, everybody else gets these benefits, but you don't get those benefits. And people who are susceptible to that thought, they fall right in. Oh, yeah, that seems plausible. Yeah, like, I have noticed that. I have noticed black-only things or this or that. And then that sends them on that road, and you just keep going down. It's a whole radicalization thing.
So, two things. One, the fact that social justice warrior is supposed to be an insult cracks me up. Because, one, yes, I'm all for social justice. Two, yes, I will fight for it. So, yes, call me a social justice warrior. I don't give a shit. Second, What do you say to people? What do you say to people who look like us? And by that, I mean black and brown people, or people who are disenfranchised. Black and brown people with intelligence who still think that the Republic, like the way Trump and the rest of these guys are going, think this is the right thing to do. Like, so how? So you have a lot of educated people who still believe that it was the right thing.
No, they don't believe. They don't believe. That's not what that is. It's not that they believe. It's that they get a benefit out of it. You know, it's a way to make ends meet. It's a means to an end. These people know that Trump's terrible and that he's a moron. They all know this. Like the Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, right? That dude was a Rhodes Scholar. He went to Oxford. Ted Cruz was like finished like top 2% in his class at Harvard. He's a brilliant man. He's a horrible human being, but Ted Cruz is a brilliant man. He's not stupid. Like, he went to Harvard Law School. He finished in the top 2% of his class. He's like, some Harvard Law professors said Ted Cruz is one of the best students they ever had. They taught there for 50 years. Ted Cruz is a brilliant man. He's a horrible man, though. And they use this for political gain or monetary gain. And that's what it's all about. They know that it's terrible. They know that it's going to backfire. They don't care because they're in a privileged position where they feel like even if things go bad, I won't be affected. The thing about running up on the Capitol, though, is you got affected, like, right? And so that, at that point, but even that was a political thing because, you know, Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, they supported the stealing the election and shit. So they probably weren't even worried that they were going to come after them. But here's the thing. Most of y'all white people, even those white people, don't know who you are. Like, they know who Ted Cruz is, but them random white dudes in the House, they don't know who you are, so they don't know if you're a Democrat or a Republican. So when the mob runs up in there, they don't know. Like, they don't know which side you're on. You're just a random white dude to them, right? Unless you're like Ted Cruz or somebody who stands out, you're just a random white dude to them. And so when that happened, some of them were just like, this is a little too close for home for me, buddy. Like, I gotta cut back just a little bit on my rhetoric. Just a little bit. But the other ones, you know, some of them still out there saying that shit. Like, Ted Cruz is not back down at all because he thinks this is gonna help him become president in 2024. It's not. But that's what he thinks is gonna happen.
So what do you say to, like, when you have, like I have some black coworkers who ride with them. And they're like, oh, it makes sense. And one person was like, oh, I had someone really say to me that the gay agenda is going to bring forth the Antichrist. Like, I have literally heard people say this. Like, this has been an actual conversation with people.
Yeah, because, you know, they're terrible people. So, like, those people you can't save. You can try to save, but, you know. You have to be open to change. And if you're coming to me with... As soon as somebody comes to me with the gay agenda, I'm just like, I'm out. I'm out. Like, I'm out.
That's usually how I go. Because it's ignorant. Two, it's fucking stupid.
It doesn't make any sense. At all. Like, none of it makes any sense if people were to sit back and think about it. But the problem is, you know, there's religion... And then there's culture, and those two things have been mixed up for so long. Now, if we're being honest, it's a lot better than it used to be when it comes to those things. The idea that you are seeing gay people in pop culture, on TV shows, in movies,
in politics,
is changing the narrative. And it's the same thing with black people. You're getting more black-directed movies. You're getting more black-centric movies. Is it where it should be? No. But is it better? Yes. So do I expect things to be better? It depends. Because what, you know, after the slaves were free, Reconstruction was better. It was getting better. And then people said, we got to put a stop to that shit. it's not good. This is too good. We got to put a stop to that shit. And then it went back. And so people think that progress is a straight line, right? They think it's just this incline that keeps going up and getting better and better. It's not. It's a spectrum. It goes up, then it comes down, then it goes up more, then it comes down, then it goes up more. It is an incline. It does get better over time, but it's not straight. It goes up and down as we incline, as we get better. And, you know, there's always pushback to progress. Trump is a manifestation of that. You got the first black president, and then China, like Ta-Nehisi Coates says, you get your first white president. Right after that.
It's funny. I always say to people that we kind of built this on. It's because, like, even if you, because what you said, in Ta-Nehisi Coates' quote make a lot of sense. If we're just going on a universal, and like just like the universe and karma and stuff like that, it's like, oh, we get 8 years of Barack Obama, yep, and now here's 4 years of Trump. It's almost like the energy has to like kind of balance itself out, which is hilarious that that 4 years of Trump is what balances out 8 years of Obama, which is hysterical to me. Before we go.
If people never read that, this came out when Trump got elected. It's long, but it's so much worth your reads. Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote an article called The First White President, and his argument is this is the first president that ran strictly on, it's in modern history, on whiteness at every point. It was all tied back to whiteness. He didn't even attempt to win anybody else. It was all run on whiteness, and he was the first white president. And if you read that in 2021, after 4 years of Trump, it's startling.
Yeah. Before we go, this was something that popped up on Twitter that I actually wanted to ask you about. So apparently, Joe Biden, the music he's going to play is going to be Kendrick Lamar and MF Doom. So people called it pandering. Me and Superworld were kind of like, yo, y'all are exaggerating that. It's not pandering. I actually think it's kind of dope. What are your thoughts on
it? So what if it is pandering? So what? White people get pandered to all the fucking time. Every politics in the history of the world is pandering to white people. That's all it is. And what do you think Trump was doing when he was saying, they're going to come into your suburbs. Your suburbs aren't going to be the same anymore. That's fucking pandering. It's like everything is pandering. Yes, guess what? Sometimes I want to be pandered to. Yes, 100%. Sometimes I want these fucking politicians to pander to me. I do. And so, you know what? He's going to get pushed back on it. And whenever you do something that's black, you're going to get pushed back. So if you know you're going to get pushed back and you do it anyway, I'm okay with that. So what if it's pandering? You know people aren't going to like it. You say, fuck you, I don't care. You know, then I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Also, black people got him elected. So, yes, you should pander to the people who got you elected.
Yeah.
If that's what they like.
And that's the funny thing about it. Like, I looked at it and I just kind of laughed. I'm like, yo, it is not that serious at all. It was like, if it is pandering, I don't give a shit. It's Kendrick Lamar, who's probably one of the best renewed rappers who've come out in the last Lord knows how long, and fucking MF Doom, who just passed away a few months ago. So, yeah, like you said, pander to me. You know what I mean? Like you said, black people got him elected. Kamala Harris is the reason Joe Biden is in office. So, yeah, pander that shit. Want to thank Brandon. It was funny. I had some other topics, but we started with this, and I was like, you know what, fuck it. We're going to keep this flow going. So I want to thank you for doing this. Brandon, tell everyone where they can reach you, where they can find you, where they can debate you on politics on Twitter.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at that cool black nerd, BLK for black. Eventually, I'm going to start a politics podcast, because politics is like, you know, politics and sports are my first loves. You know, I played football in college. I got a degree in political science.
I didn't know you played. I didn't know you played college football. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I played in Coastal Carolina. So you know, sports is my love. Politics is what I love to talk about. But you know, I'm a nerd, so I ended up finding that was my space in politics. I mean, in podcasting and social media. But like, you know, I'm always down to talk about politics. So you know, if you're not an asshole, hit me up. If you're an asshole, you can still hit me up, but I'm going to call you an asshole. And I'm going to quote tweet you. And I don't have a lot of followers, but I have a good amount of followers. And some of my followers have a lot of followers. So you might get quote tweeted by other people, and then it might blow up. And so, you know.
Yeah.
You can say something stupid to me at your own risk.
So let me tell you. Okay, I guess Roxy's a little upset. But let me tell you right now, come correct, because the podcast.
That's right. The coffee's in here too. She's sleeping.
Because let me tell you, the podcast play cousins will come at you. Stop it. And don't let Charmaine and Stephanie come at you, because that is going to be ugly.
Is it recording?
Yeah.
Do you want me to put them away?
No, I'm almost done. But don't let the phone.
Roxy lit.
Oh, yeah, so come correct, because if Charmaine don't get you, and Stephanie from Mocha Minutes don't get you, and I don't get you, or Rashani don't get you, one of his followers will get you. And so come correct and don't come at all. Don't forget to visit the Old Man Wade Show on Facebook. That's where we have a lot of conversations. We do the stuff. We post articles. We post stuff that I've written, stuff that Hosupo's written. We go in there. Everyone goes in there, have fun. It's a safe place. And if we do catch someone not coming correct, we will delete you. I've even got to the point where there are just certain words that won't even be allowed to say. Like, if you drop the F-bomb for the homosexual community, it won't allow you to post it. Like there are just certain words that I just will not allow to be said, because I want this to be a safe place for people to be able to come to and come correct. Also, don't forget to check out the Culture Comic Book News Podcast, Culture Comic Book News Podcast, CCBN. That's on Spotify, iTunes, and iHeart, and Comic Book 101 with me and Brandon, where we will do the best we can to be the experts that you need and the experts you want. I think that should be our tagline, the experts you need and the experts you want. But until then, I want to thank Brandon for coming on here. It's always a pleasure having you, like, come in here and talk shit with me, especially when, for once, you were right. You're normally not when it comes to comic books, but you're 99.9% right when it comes to politics. So I want to thank you coming on here and doing this impromptu episode with me.
No problem. Anytime.
Oh, so you admit that you're wrong then. All right, I need to get there.
Damn it, Wade.